You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 7. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your infinite involvement, your thinking, your thoughts, your will, and the power to produce, to make happen all of that which honors you. Spirit of God, help us for the children, the babies, the little one, primary time, God, looking to you. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Actually, before we do that, you may want to turn in your Bible over to Philippians again, and chapter 3. And I would remind you that we started the year to remind ourselves that how are we supposed to enter the year and proceed. And we're here in this particular section, Philippians 3, and we share together, among other things, if I can, in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were I already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. God has a wonderful plan and purpose for my life. I want that plan and purpose. I want it fulfilled. Paul is not finished with his journey through time, and he is looking to have all that God has for him. And thus the words, I follow after, I am in pursuit. And being in pursuit, I want you to go to verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, I haven't got everything God has for me next week, next year. But this one thing I know, I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And so here is a pursuing forward, going forward, following after. And then a forgetting those things. And the word forgetting means to completely forget, completely to forget, completely forgetting. Forgetting completely everything that is behind and stretching forth unto everything that is in front. And verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm running down, I'm going forward, forgetting behind, going forward. And I am pressing to the goal line. I'm looking for God's will for me. I want all that God has in mind, all that God has in his wonderful purpose for my time on earth. And I do so in will of God for the prize. The prize isn't the high calling, it's God himself. God's wonderful, heavenly, holy, happy person. And thus reaching forth, going forward and upward at the same time, forward, upward, running up, moving forward. God, I want all. I'm going to have to go forward to have it. Now, none of that is possible apart from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. How much so? Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency, that which is over, above, and beyond the superior, super-duper knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, waste, refuge, that I may win Christ. Now, if I didn't forget, remember if you read verse 5 and 6, Paul's credentials, a brief briefly given top of the line, Jew of Jews, Hebrew of Hebrews, student of students, scholar of scholars, had riches, nobility, Roman citizen, Jew, had everything. He said, I counted all as waste. And if we begin to try to have an equality, a comparison, that on the one hand I want the world, and the other hand I want God, you can't do that. You can't do that at all. In order to possess time properly, in order to win in time, to succeed in time, to have everything God has for you in time on this planet, then you have to go upward. You have to look to God. God makes all of that possible. Thus, over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And you will note, if I may go directly in the light of the context, over to chapter 7 and in verse 6. For thou art an holy people, Israel, upon unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And if we read in Exodus 19, 5 and 6, he is, the word special is the word peculiar. That means they are peculiar in what way? They are privately owned, prized, precious property. All P's for peculiar. That's what it means. Privately owned, personal, possessed, prized, precious property. Israel is, of all the people on earth, I've given them the right to represent me in time. Deuteronomy chapter 32. In this representation, how do you represent the Most High God? Chapter 32, picking up, if I may, in verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He, God, found him in the desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord, as the eagle takes care of a young, so the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange God with him, Israel. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty ground. He made everything plentiful and easy and wonderful. God did that. And in verse 13, you will note, and he made him ride on the high places of the earth. He is a people. They are above all the people of the earth. They represent the God, the Most High God. Going down to verse 16. But this is their privilege, Israel's wonderful privilege, to be a special people, peculiar, prized, precious. And all the world is going to look up. That's why God doesn't change the city, the place, the location for God's human, earthly blessing. It's Jerusalem, Israel. And Jerusalem, the center, literally, of the earth. Wow. Looking. Israel. God, the God of Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God. Now, Israel's mission, commission, was to show all the nations of the world God happens to be the creator. and he's the only one who is able to save them. He says he's the only Savior and the only God. So here we are looking, and Israel has a wonderful assignment. They are not to be down in the sewer. They're not to be down in the valley. They're to be up where you can see them. The light needs to be in the top of the lighthouse, not in the bottom. The light needs to be in the mountain, not on the bottom. Now, having said that, that's their job. That's their wonderful assignment. Verse 13, he made them ride on the high places of the earth. Now, in verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto demons or devils, and not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that they came, new religion, new thought, new system, new agenda, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful. Thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. Verse 20. God, Israel, is missing the point and the privilege. Verse 20. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward, unreasonable generation, proudful generation. Children in whom is no faith. They have no faith. They don't believe. I made them privileged to be there in that land, to have everything, to have all that they needed, so that the world would know of God's grace and mercy and kindness. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Chapter 33, Deuteronomy. And in verse 26, there is none like unto the God of Jehuran, that means the upright one. Israel is called the upright. There is none like unto the God of Jehuran, Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and is in his excellency on the sky. God is an ever-present, above and beyond. In excelsis Deo, we sing, there is God over and above it all. Thus, verse 37, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before thee. He shall say, destroy them. Verse 28, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. The sky, the world will take care of Israel and its place. Thus, verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency? Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now, you read in chapter 32, the high places. And then, their high places. Well, what do high places do? Well, why do people have them? Because of pride. Pride. Remember, if I'm going to look at all my credentials and try to say all of this about ourselves, and we look at something to try to find something good, something worthy, something we commend ourselves, something we can be compared to somebody else, maybe people over us, but there's people under us. Pride. The pursuit of position, the pursuit of power, the pursuit of possessions, all under the guise of religion, pride, high places. What were high places? They were the things people substituted, Old Testament and New, things people substituted in place of God something other than God, something or someone other than God, and putting it in so that they can enjoy the high place which they choose to honor. And since they choose to honor it, they can choose to dishonor it. They choose to honor, they can choose to dishonor. They can like it or not, and they can walk away from it. God, you can't do that with. But with our religion and our system, we can do it. And thus we like it. We like it. And we worship. Pride, pride, high places. We build them up and look at them and exalt them so we don't have to go that high to the God, the Most High God. We don't want to go that high, just high enough so that we can say, God, if Israel says to us, you need to believe in God, we say, no, we already have our religion, and we could point to our high place, our mountain, our building, like in Genesis 11, the tower and a city. We can point to something and say, see, there's our God. Our God is there, so we don't have to go to the invisible Most High God. Thus Israel in its magnificence isn't magnificent. Psalm 78, and getting a commentary, a biblical commentary on it. In Psalm 78, God helping us always, helping whosoever that would believe, going, if I can, to Psalm 78, verse 56, in the light of the context. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned back like a deceitful bow. Verse 58, for they provoked him, God, to anger. How so? With their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. All the things they were building and looking to, but they aren't God. Thou shalt have no other God. Nothing of wood, stone, nothing of creation, nothing you can see, taste, touch, smell, nothing. God, the invisible God, created it. Don't worship the creation. Worship the creature. I mean, worship the creator. Don't worship creation. And thus, in the light of that, they provoked him to anger with their high places, with their pride. And they did it, and they did it, and did it, and did it. So Israel isn't doing too well. And hasn't done well, isn't doing well, obviously. In the millennial reign, they'll do wonderful. They'll do wonderfully in the millennial reign. But in the meantime, Israel, history, tell us something. Go with me, please, over to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, David is a man after God's heart. That's why he became the king. That's why he will be in the millennium revived and wonderfully positioned as a prince with God over Israel. David had a heart for God. And he didn't get caught up in the system. No, he got caught up in God. And thus, Psalm 18, picking up, please, in verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my personal pronoun. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, a shield, and the horn, the defensive, offensive weapon, the horn of my salvation, for my high tower. And without the my, what about it? The Lord is rock. The Lord is fortress. The Lord is deliverer. The Lord is what? Psalm 23:1. The Lord is what? My shepherd. If you take the little pronoun out, you've got nothing. It has to be personal. Paul counted it all as dung so that he could personally forget and pursue God's wonderful will for his life. Israel, aren't you supposed to do that in the land with all of its benefits in the high places? And all the world has all of their high places, but your high place is above all their high places. You are excelling, exceeding all of their bestest, mostest systems. Be above them. And every man that exalteth himself, proud, pushes himself up, tries to be better than, more than, other than Israel, ride upon the high places of the earth and show them that they're never going to be high enough. Now, so in Psalm 18, picking up over to verse 27, Thou wilt save the afflicted people, but bring down high looks. Verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will lighten my darkness, pronouns again. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. And as for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried, he is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength, and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. God, isn't Israel supposed to do that? Sure they are. Aren't they supposed to be a people that enjoy this? Yes, but they don't even know about it. They don't even know it, but I pay attention to it. They're trying to be like the nations and have their little temples and religious systems. Verse 33, He will make my feet like hinds' feet, the deer, the female deer, female small deer, red deer, jumping all over the place. You've seen goats and deer do it up in the Alps and mountains and places where you and I wouldn't dare even, we'd have to do it on fear and trembling. I would anyway. They just jump. Don't even have a thought about the rock, the sharpness. Is the rock there or isn't it there? They just do it. Oh, they're so swift and agile, strong, firm. The deer, thou shalt make my feet. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon mine high places. My high places. That's their high place. Oh, we have theirs. They have theirs. But boy, God, you've given Israel theirs. But Israel doesn't take theirs. David, are you wise enough to see it and go for it individually? Yes. And you know that's what you need today. You need that. You have to want to understand, if you really want, all that God wants. You're going to have to be a loner. And you're going to want to go for it. Because probably, like the Lord would say, your own enemy will be a friend, your foes of your own household. You want to go for it. You want to go for it because God has it for you. Paul said, listen, God, you've got it for me. I've got some of it. I want all of it. I want all of your goodwill, and I'm going to go for it. Well, what about everybody else? What about Demas? What about all the others? I don't know. But as for me, like Joshua of old, as for me and my house, God, I'm going after it. Huh? Yeah. You got to have that. You got to have that. You aren't going to do it. The whole world is going to discourage you. The whole people that say they're believers will discourage you. So you have to understand that. They aren't going to run. They don't want to run. They aren't running. Thus, David, verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. And the word gentle, remember, is the verb to turn, to answer, to reply, to give an answer, to turn around, to turn about. And thus a replying, a answering, a turning, a responding to something, someone. And thus it is used to say it this way. God, look at verse 35, and thy gentleness, God's gentleness has made me great. Now I'm going to give you a word that'll be all right. It's right in the same box as gentleness. God, you trouble yourself about me, and that's amazing. God, you would trouble yourself about little old me. Thy gentleness, because you bother with me. You turn and look down at me. God, you're turning. You're paying attention. God, setting me up, my high places. Not theirs. I don't want theirs. I want yours. What's for me? Your will for my life. Israel, it's in the land with all of its goodness and greatness. And in the millennium, it will be like that. But not now. Not now. Thus, Habakkuk chapter 3. There's another one. Not only David, but one of the great prophets will help us, you know. Now, the high places, remember, the world has them all over the place. God, the Most High God, has his high place, and God has a wonderful way to communicate to the world and all their high places. And that is from his high place. And God has given the believing Israel, the believing believer, a high place that's higher than all of theirs. So that in understanding, God is going to bless the high place. And the world is going to have to take note that all of their proudful positions, practices, possessions, their high places, are no match, are no contest, no comparison to God and to what God does and gives to the believing heart. Thus, Habakkuk. And remember, Habakkuk is about 10 years out from the Babylonian captivity. So here's Assyria's back here. 10 tribes in the north gone. And here's Habakkuk, along with others, looking, and about approximately 10 years plus or minus is the Babylonian captivity. And wow. And he knows it's coming. God has told him it's coming. And Habakkuk is just, wow, strung out. The Chaldean Babylonian invasion. And thus, verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones. Here I am, afraid, in terror, trembling, to move, to be thrown into great commotion in myself. I'm all doing something, tearing out my insides, the possibility. My flesh is failing. And when I looked, rottenness, the terror striking through me. Or to say it another way, a verb, I am worm eaten. I am rotten wood. I'm all rotten, eaten by worms inside. I think about it. I said, how could, and you say, no, hang on to that. Because what's coming? The great tribulation. And you know what? God said the only way I can get Israel to pay attention is by tribulation. And I'm going to have a great one. And they're going to pay attention. And you look and say, no, could the tribulation really be? Yes. is it really, it's worse than we can even imagine. Words don't describe it for us. Wow, upon the whole world. Boy, that's awesome to think about that. What about my children, grandchildren? And to think about that. That's hard. It causes our insides to sometimes wonder and fret and fume and fuss. Now, here, Habakkuk 3 and 16. I trembled in myself, the middle of the verse, that I might rest in the day of trouble. I had to go through this exercise. I had to go through it that I could rest, that I could rest. I had to wait. And in resting, that I might set myself down, rest from labor, rest from trouble, from calamity. Rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up into the people, unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now that's Nebuchadnezzar coming in. 1, 2, 3 times he comes in. Third time, remember the city goes down, 586, down, APC. So, here comes Babylon's down the road. I can see them coming at me, coming towards us. I'm going to die before they get here, perhaps, but it's coming. Thus, verse 17, you know, although the fig tree shall not blossom, no fruit, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, we're looking at bankruptcy. We're looking at barrenness. Barren bankruptcy. We got nothing. That's what's coming. Tribulation? Same thing. But wow, what are we going to do? Habakkuk, you're supposed to be an Israelite up there, looking, riding in the high places, in the midst of all the things the world wants to do and wishes to do in their high and mighty movement. But you're there so that you can handle down here what's going on. That's right. Thus in verse 17, everything I am declaring, I am determined, I am utterly determined. Verse 18, determination. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice. And the word rejoice has to do with sound. Rejoice, joy, sound, making sound, joyful sound. I will rejoice in the Lord. The only place I can. God knows what he's doing. And I'm going to rest in God and look to God. That's the only way I'm going to handle that which is happening down below. Verse 18. I will joy, there's a second verb, that I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now this word, the first rejoicing, has to do with sound. The second verb, joy, has to do with movement, joyous movement. Sound, movement, motion. There's no dragging heels. There's no loss here. It's a joyful expression, physically and sound-wise. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God, I'm going to look to you. God, keep God. He's going to keep God in the process. And for the product, how am I going to get anything, God, if I don't hang in there? All the high places go up and say, it looks like they're going to win until some. Assyria is going to win, and then no, Babylon's going to win, no, then Media Persia's going to win, no, then Greece is going to win, no, Rome's going to. Who's going to win? They're always winning. But they're always going up and falling down. And they're replaced with another. Up and falling down. And all of it is taking place under the dominion and watch care of the Most High God is watching it. Habakkuk, have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And that's what you're going to have in Habakkuk. You know, it's all about faith. All about faith. Chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2 of Habakkuk, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just, the righteous, shall live by his faith. And that's what you're going to have in Romans chapter 1. The just shall live by faith. Quoting, wow, that's how you're going to make it. You're not going to make it any other way. We walk by faith, not by sight. Thus here, rejoicing, jumping, glad, verse 19. Remember now, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, so we aren't going to look at ourselves, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing for the upward calling, God. High, heavenly, holy, happy, I'm looking to you, God. Everything is here, but you're there. So I'm going to look to you, and I'm trusting you. You're the God who created it, you're the one who makes it, saved it. And God, I'm going to trust you. So now, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. The Lord God is my strength, my ability, the vigor and life of a tree versus the rottenness and decay of a piece of wood. The Lord God is my strength, my vigor, my vitality. And he, God, will make my feet, like a deer, hind, little female deer, wow. He will make my feet like hind's feet, like, compared to, likened to, even equal to climb like the little deer that I watch up in the crevice in the mountain. I watch him. God would make me like that, but I'm down here. But God has made it possible for you to be down here and for you to show down here him, he who is up there, the Most High God. And so all the high places and all the frills and things and pride of men doing what they do, evilly and otherwise, are no match for God. God, we need to be where you are. We need to be where you would give us the privilege of being, on your high places. And then you said, you make it personal, my high places. Your will for one's personal life. I don't know about the rest do whatever. But God, I want your will for my personal life. Israel's personal as a nation. Your will, God. It'll come, not yet. But here's David, and here's Habakkuk. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, make them swift, strong, sure, agile. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk upon mine high places. God will make it possible for me on my places. God's will for my life. I can't speak for what's going to happen to the southern two tribes. I can't make the government in the southern two tribes better. I can't tell people to repent and believe because they aren't going to do it. But as for me in my heart, Joshua, you said, you told them to repent. Joshua, you told them and serve the Lord. But he said, as far as it goes, I can't speak for you. I'll speak for my own heart. As for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. That's all I can do. For my own heart, I can't speak for anyone else. You can't believe for anyone else, can you? Your mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, friend, enemy. No one can believe for you. You have to do your own heart thing in here. And nothing's going to happen unless you do it. And you can be around it, in it, and everything. But it needs to be in you. What needs to be in you? The lovely person of the living God. Thus, Thou shalt make my feet, mine high places, God. You want me to walk in them, to have the victory, the power, the privilege. You want me to have them. That's right. I want you to have them. I want you to enjoy them. Now, and thus, to verse 19, to the chief singer on the stringed instruments. And now remember, I'm just going to touch in it for you. The chief singer, the words chief singer, is a verb. It's intensive verb. It's a participle. Intensive participle. What are you saying? What's it mean? Well, to lead, to have the oversight, to be in eager pursuit, to be wholehearted. I'll give it to you in a quick shot. God, to the chief singer, / to the giver of victory, to the overcomer, to the overcoming ones, from the overcomer to be overcoming, to the chief singer, to the one who makes it all possible, to the chief singer. Now, or if you would, over in Ephesians, as you would guess, and rightly so, let me just do it for us, because you say, well, Israel's Israel, and Habakkuk, and David's David. That's all true. But hey. So, in Ephesians, if I may, remember, we have a particular privileged, personal, precious possession. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God makes you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus you are found in Christ. Remember we had the cups and somewhere just to do it for his, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God places you in his Son. In his Son. What a place. Privileged place. Precious. Private. Personal. That's right. Now, and so you have that particular place. And then, in the same instant when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God in his deity, Son of God, saves you because of his human God, the God-man who's seated at the right hand, who died, was buried, and rose again. And God is able to come and make you comfortably, reliable, rightly his. Wow. Now, so it's a humbling for us. It's a happy, holy thing. Wow. God. Not the world, not the dust, not the weather. No, God, you. Beyond all of creation. God. That's right. A healthy, holy, happy relationship. Wow. To the Most High God. Uh-huh. Now, Ephesians 1, verse 19. And when and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, qualified, usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places. And he rose again. He died, was buried, and risen again. And when he rose again, and everyone made it possible for everyone to be found in his saving grace. Thus in verse 6, chapter 2, and in verse 6, you know, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He's up there. That's where he's seated. And we're up there. We're up there because he's up there. We have to be where he is because we're in him. And wherever he is, we is. And thus made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the location. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, that God has given us such a privileged position to be seated. Now who's above him? No one. The devil wanted to be above him. The devil wanted a place like that. And the devil can't have it. God in his grace has given it to whosoever's, to nobodies, and made them somebodies, and seated them But he is. Now, hang on to that, because that's pretty high. I know you're all sitting down on low planet Earth. But if you're a believer, you couldn't get any higher. Do you understand that? All the high things, the powers, the plans, the UN, the OPEC, and all of the NATO, and all the conspiracies, and all the other stuff out there. Now, God, what are we? Here we are. Well, that's right. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has given us this place. And here and now, where are we? God said, John 17, 11, and 15, I don't want them out of the world. I want you to leave them in the world. They are not of the world. I want you to leave them in it so that there'd be a light in the darkness. They would be right in the wrongness. They would show a great God and a great Savior that's able to save them to the uttermost. So here we are, little old nobodies, in the middle of the world, looking. And say, who are you? And all of the high prices go up. But hey, if we don't make a difference, if we live like they do, who's going to know the difference? But if you understand that God has given you and seated you in heavenly places in Christ, and God has given you the wonderful privilege, Ephesians 3:10. Ephesians 3:10, remember. And here's all the angelic hosts and everybody, every and powers, high places, mind you. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, by means of the church, the manifold, many-sided wisdom of God. That God's handling and how God works in our life and how God handles everything is an awesome thing. And all of the angels, all the powers in heavenly places, high places, all they can do is learn from it and wonder about it. Chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, those very high places among them anyway. Ephesians chapter 6, and picking up please in verse 12. For we wrestle not our battle for, we're on enemy territory, that's right. Where all the high places are. Pride, pride, pride. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. In this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's right. Our contest, the contest, is the high places versus the Most High God. And God has given you, the believer, the heart, the privilege to be seated in the heavenlies. To be on earth while we're there. Up there, here. We're still here. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In the body, absent from there. We're here in literal body. We're still here, waiting to be there. But we already are there, positionally, wonderfully in Christ Jesus. And thus, the whole armor of God, verse 13, to put on the whole armor, we did that the other day, the high, powerful position of persons, people, but they're no match, no match to the armor of God. And the armor of God is needed, the whole, complete, it's used of the infantry. The infantry would be out there, and the full armor of the best infantry of Rome and Greece would be out there with a full armor on. Put on the whole complete armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. And looking to God, wow, with that complete armor, that wonderful armor. And to sit together, that's right. To stand firm. Verse 13, chapter 6, stand upright. Don't crawl, don't cringe, don't be a coward. Stand there. In the same breath, remember you're seated. And the word in Ephesians 2:6 is to incline, like at dinner. When the Lord would have dinner, they would recline down to be seated. He's the server. He's the one. And everyone leans down around him, looking. Wow, we're seated there. That's right. So on the one hand, we're standing. Not to fall down. If we fall down, get up. Ah, but on the other hand then, dear friend, we're seated. And so we can't fall down. Can't fall too far because we're sitting down. You see. And thus, Colossians 1 in closing. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. What are we doing then? Well, we're operating from heaven. We're believers. Either be one or don't. Here's all the world, your family, friends, job, home, your own health, your own body, your own stuff in your little world. And then there's God. And then there's His grace. And God said, listen, I made it possible for you to live above it. And to win in it. And I want you to do, I don't want you to go, I'll use a bulletin. I don't want you to go and look to me like this. And here's your whole life with all its stuff in it. You know, and you look, I don't want you to look at me like that. I don't want you to look at me through this, through your trouble, tears, heartache, trauma. I don't want you to do that. Don't do that. Because then everything about God and the Bible and His Word is flavored by this sheep. True? God, you are seated, positioned, privileged. Look down. Look down from God's perspective, from God's vantage point. Look down. And here you are, and here it is. And all of a sudden, God, when I look down, little old me underneath here, patient, bearing up under the load. Here I am, God. But when I look down, it doesn't look like much. Like we said with David, you know. David did it the other day, just to, maybe it'll fit, you know. David, why did you ever pick David, God? David had a few sheep. Everyone else had a big thing. David, you're a nothing. That's right. You're the youngest nobody. Nobody, nobody, nobody. That's right. And that's who God wanted. Why? What did you do, David? Well, I had a couple of sheep. And a lion came along. And the lion took one of those sheep. And I looked at you, God. I looked at that lion. And God, you're bigger than the lion. So I killed it. And a bear came along and did the same thing. Took one of the sheep. I looked to you, God, and you were bigger than the bear. So I killed it. A big man came along, almost 10 feet tall, named Goliath. And I looked at you, God, and I looked at that man. And he looked so small, I killed him. I killed him with a little stone. That's what I did, God. I did that. David said, I have a man. I have a man. I have someone. You see. God, can you do that? Yeah. So what are we doing? We're going to look, not this way. Going to look down, down, down. So we can see it. And there's no lack of resources. There's no lack of anything. What a high place. My high places. Your high places. His high place. So that we can handle all the high places. Down here. Our Father in God, we look to you. Deal with us, God. What are we? Spirit of God, honor yourself. Honor the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor your word. Honor your working. Honor the grace of God. Honor the mercy of God found in Christ Jesus. And our Father, we're going to be so excited if you would help us to give you due credit, to reverence your holy name, to jump with joy, to sing with joy. Oh, there's so much heartache and sorrow. Ah, but then there's you. So God, thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them. Do a wonderful work in their head and heart that they might truly be saved. And our God will thank you for all that you do, all that you're doing, and all that you don't do. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing a stanza, please, as we sing number 74.